Good evening. Welcome back to Wednesday Night Bible Study. We are looking at the life of Jacob and particularly how God uses him in his overall plan. Tonight we'll be looking at the end of chapter 25 and then chapter 27, where we find that Jacob acquires the birthright and the blessing. And this is really a key part of the story. Now, my plan is to go quickly through these facts and then divide into a small group for some discussion questions. Now, last week, we didn't get to that second part because, well, there was just so much important stuff. Or somebody just kept talking longer than necessary. So, I mean, you can judge for yourself. But so tonight, that is the goal. We'll look at the we'll look at the story, and then we'll answer some discussion questions. So the application will do. Hi, welcome. The application will do as a small group or multiple group. So that's the plan. We're looking at the life of Jacob. We're in the end of Genesis chapter 25, and you remember last time Rebecca is barren. Isaac prays for her, and she conceives, and then she's having trouble with the pregnancy, and she asks the Lord what's going on, and the Lord answers her. What did he tell her? There are two nations there, and they're going to be divided. And what else? One will be stronger than the other. And which one will be the stronger one?
The younger.
The younger will be the stronger. So the older will serve the younger. And that's like contrary to the way it's supposed to work. And so we're looking at that happened last week. And then in Genesis 25, verse 24, when her days to give birth were completed, behold, there were twins in her womb. First one came out red, and they called him Esau, which is hairy. And eventually we'll find out why it's red, which is Edom. And afterward, his brother came out, and his hand was holding Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. And Jacob is related to heel. He's grabbing the heel. The picture looks like Esau is going to try to come out first, but Jacob is grabbing the heel even as they're being born in order to prevent him, but he does come out, and he is the older, and then Jacob is the younger by, you know, a few seconds or a few minutes, however long it takes. Then in verse 27, when the boys grew up, Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man dwelling in tents. And Esau loved, Isaac loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. I mean, right away, there's a hint there. The author is telling us this is not going to go well, right? So Isaac loved Esau, Rebekah loved Jacob. And now it tells why Isaac loved Esau. What does it say?
He loved the wild game.
So Esau is a hunter. He goes out. Brings back the food. Isaac liked that, so he's the favorite. And Jacob dwells in tents, and Rebekah loves him. So that's reviewed, and now tonight we'll see how the birthright and the blessing get transferred to Jacob. So look at 25, verse 29. Once when Jacob was cooking stew, so yeah, you know, Esau comes in from the field. Esau's out hunting. Jacob is at the tent cooking. And Esau comes in from the field, and he was exhausted. And Esau said to Jacob, "Let me eat some of that red stew, for I'm exhausted." And literally it says, "Let me eat that red." I mean, it's like, it's almost, it reminds me of that old sitcom, Home Improvement, where the, I forget what the comedian's name is, but he Tim Allen, yeah. So he said, he's always going, "Rrr, rrr." I mean, this is Esau. He's going, "Rrr, rrr, give me red. You know, and that's so again, Jacob is building the stew. Esau, "Rrr, rrr, give me red. He's exhausted. And therefore, his name was called Edom. So Edom is related to red. And so now they call him Edom. Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright now." And Esau said, "I'm about to die. What use is a birthright to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me now." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went on his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Now, all right, so question number one, what is a birthright?
What you're entitled to based on your birthplace.
Yeah, particularly the oldest one gets,
right.
And what is the advantage of being the oldest one?
Get a double portion.
Yeah, later, you get a double portion of the inheritance. Often it was included was the idea of preeminence in the tribe or the family. You would take over the leadership role. There's a financial thing that you get a double the inheritance than the other sons would get. It's part of passing on the property of a family. So it's the firstborn, eldest, rules. Royal families, the firstborn would typically be the next king. Is it that cold? We can turn the thermostat up. I didn't check it. It's hot up here because you make me nervous. We often get communication cards on Sunday, and quite often they'll say something about, "Hey, can you turn up can you bring it up a couple of degrees?" But if we turn it up a couple of degrees, then we get the cards that say, "Oh, it's too hot here. I can't," you know. So it's like it's this touchy point of trying to find the exact spot, and maybe we have to move around. And I think it's warmer in the back than it is in the front. So if you want to sit in the back and feel a little warmer, but here, this room, it's all the same. So do you turn it up a little bit? Thank you. So anyway, the royal family would pass down, the dynasty would go to the firstborn, and he would, in Deuteronomy 21, he would receive a double portion. So dividing up all the property, the eldest would get a double portion. Now, in those days, you could transfer that right. So they found some, they call them the Nuzi tablets. They come from around the area where Abraham come from, Haran. And in it, you have examples of someone selling his birthright for three sheep. So, you know, I now here, Esau sells it for what? Yeah, a bowl of red stuff. He sells his birthright. Now that's different than the blessing. And we're going to see the blessing in the next chapter. But the blessing the father could give to, you know, all his sons or multiple sons or different blessings to different sons, as we'll see later on in Genesis. So the blessing, and the birthright goes to one, and blessing can go to multiple ones. But in Genesis, the emphasis is on the two kind of go together, right? That the blessing is more than just a normal family blessing. The blessing refers to the blessing of Abraham. So that God told Abraham, I'm giving you this land. I'm giving you a son. And in your son, you know, the whole world will be blessed. And if you can count the stars, that's how many children and descendants you have. So there's a blessing of God to Abraham. And God says, whoever blesses you, I'll bless. Whoever curses you, I'll curse. So this is... it's the covenant that God enters into with Abraham and then Isaac as the supernatural miracle son. And then now we're coming to the next generation of Jacob. But in these, in Hebrews 11, it says, by faith Abraham went to live in the land of promise, in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac, Jacob, heirs of the same promise. So what we're looking at is the promise of God that was given to Abraham and then to Isaac as the supernaturally born son in their old age when Sarah was too old to have children, but God supernaturally gave children. And now we have Esau and Jacob. So the question is, what does Esau value?
Lentil stew.
He values that meal. Right? That's the number one thing for him. And now he says, you know, what good is this birthright if I'm starving? But, I mean, let's be suspicious of him, that he's probably not going to drop dead at his feet if he doesn't eat this bowl of stew. Because one bowl of stew and he's up and he's gone. He's, you know, everything is good. I mean, he's not emaciated and, you know, wearing away. So, but for him, that meal right now is more important than the birthright of who knows how long I'll wait for that, who knows whether it'll even be worth anything. But what was the value for, so everything must go. It's a fire sale of birthrights. They all get sold. What was the value? What does Jacob value?
Himself.
Jacob?
No, I thought you, yeah.
What's his name?
Yeah, he's buried himself.
Yeah, Esau, obviously. What does Jacob value?
Greater blessing.
Yeah, he's looking for the birthright. Seems to me that the covenant passed down from Abraham to Isaac and now to Jacob.
Why didn't Jacob just give him a bowl of stew?
So
I mean, you got to look at it from both sides now.
Exactly.
One of them is all that straight, you know what I mean?
So
Jacob was weaseling him out of his birthright.
Jacob was weaseling him out of his birthright. Yeah, and that's why his name is
Deceiver.
Jacob. grabbing the heel, the deceiver, the cheater.
There's guilt on both sides.
There is guilt on both sides. But the only one that's pointed out as guilty in the scripture is Esau. So we look at this and say, you know, give him the bowl of stew. But the scripture looks at it, well, did I read the end of the chapter? What does the scripture say?
In the New Living, it says Esau had contempt for his birthright.
Esau had contempt for his birthright. Or this is the English Standard. Esau despised his birthright. And that's despised, not in the sense, I mean, we use despise in two ways. One is that he hates or loathes. That's not the word here. The word is to think little of, to have contempt for. So what the scripture, when the scripture evaluates it, it's a little different. So we're looking at it like Jacob's taking advantage of him. But the scripture looks at it that he has contempt for the birthright. And he says, what good is the birthright to me if I die here because I'm so hungry? So Esau despised his birthright and sold it for a bowl of stew or red.
I'm sorry.
Now go.
I think Jacob knew that Esau wouldn't value his inheritance, or it didn't. He knew that it didn't mean it meant as little as a bowl of stew to him. So that's why he was.
Yeah, if you look at it as negotiating, all right, you.
Say,
I'll do it if you sell me your birthright. And Esau can say, well, that's pretty cheap. You'll have to give me more than just a bowl of stew. If he valued it, then he would set a higher price.
Jacob is not spotless in this deal. Because a little further along, he weasels him out of his blessing.
Yeah. So what we're going to look at tonight are four people. Isaac, Rebekah, Jacob, and Esau, and none of them is perfect. None of them, one of the things that we have to, when we approach the scripture, is so last week we spent a lot of time looking at how does this fit into the story of salvation. God's plan of salvation. And that's the primary thing, more than a moral tale for us to emulate. And we'll see that there are good and bad in all these things. But again, Scripture says Esau despised his birthright and doesn't say anything about Jacob. And Hebrews 12, see to it that no one is sexually immoral or unholy or common or profane like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. So again, it characterizes what the value is that he puts on this birthright. And cheat or overpriced or whatever you say about Jacob, he saw the value in the birthright that was handed down from Abraham to Isaac and now to him. And so the scriptures think little of and show contempt for Esau. So that's the birthright. It's done. He doesn't break any laws. You were allowed to sell it. He took advantage of the situation. But Esau really didn't value it. Then turn to chapter 27. And in 27, we find out that the birthright is not enough. We also need the blessing of the Father. And so in 27, so here's where, you know, you're looking at Isaac, Rebecca, Jacob, and Esau. Who do we blame? Who do we admire? Who's good? Who's bad? But most importantly, what is God doing? So in chapter 27, when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." And he answered, "Here am I." And he said, "Behold, I am old. I do not know the day of my death." Reminded me of You Only Die Once, that the course that you guys see. He knows he's going to die, so he's going to prepare. Now, it turns out he doesn't die for like many decades, but he doesn't know that. He doesn't know the day of his death. But anyway, I don't know the day of my death. "Now then, take your weapons, your quiver and your bow. Go out to the field and hunt game for me, and prepare for me delicious food such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." All right, so here's setting up for the blessing. Go out, make a meal. Now, Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to his son. I mean, they dwell in tents. It's not that hard to eavesdrop, right? So, spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game and bring it, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, notice that, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, bring me game and prepare for me delicious food that I may eat it and bless you before the Lord before I die. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice as I command you. Go to the flock, bring me 2 good young goats so that I may prepare from them delicious food for your father, such as he loves. And you shall bring it to your father to eat, so that he may bless you before he dies. But Jacob said to his mother, "Behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I will seem to be mocking him and bring a curse upon myself and not a blessing." And his mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go bring them to me." So he went and took them and brought them to his mother, and his mother prepared delicious food such as his father loved. And then Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her older son, which were with him in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son, and the skins of the young goats she put on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. And she put the delicious food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So just quick, what's happening in this scene?
Deception.
Yeah, so Isaac is going to bless his favorite son, Esau, and presumably there's some kind of ceremonial meal. Say, "Go get a meal, and then I'll bless you." And she gives him his best clothes. Right? This is not just an ordinary meal. This is, I'm getting ready to write my will, my last will and testament. It's a formal thing. So then in verse 18, so he went into his father and said, "My father," and he said, "Here am I. Who are you, my son?" And Jacob said to his father, "I'm Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Now sit up and eat my game that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" And he answered, I love this, "Because the Lord your God granted me success." And then Isaac said to Jacob, please come near that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you're really my son Esau or not. I mean, he's suspicious. And so Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, who felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, are you really my son Esau? And he answered, I am. And then he said, bring it near to me that I may eat of my son's game and bless you. So he brought it near him and he ate and he brought him wine and he drank. And then his father Isaac said to him, come near and kiss me, my son. So he came near and kissed him, and Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him. And then we'll come back to the blessing. All right, so he's preparing for death. He tells his son to go out and bring a meal. Rebekah dresses him in his best clothes. And the plan is to deceive Isaac into giving him the blessing. So Isaac's got a plan. Rebecca has a plan and sends her son in to talk to Isaac. Now, Jacob hesitates. What is Jacob's problem with doing the plan?
I think he's afraid he'd get caught.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't ask, is this really right? Right? It's like, am I going to get caught? And she convinces him, no, it's fine. I'm going to give you hairy clothes. You're going to smell like Esau because I'm giving you his clothes. I know how to doctor the food to make it taste like it's wild game. I mean, she's pretty clever. And so Jacob says, yeah, okay, I'm going to, I'll do it. It says of him, you know, he says, Esau is a hairy man, but I'm a smooth man. And what's funny to me is that the Hebrew word that's translated smooth here is often translated slippery, deceptive. It's someone with a smooth tongue tells you one thing, but in their heart they have something else in mind. And that, so it's true in both senses. He's smooth, his skin is smooth, but he's a smooth operator as well. And his goal is he wants the blessing. And I think it's the blessing that he knows, the blessing that God gave to Abraham, passed on to Isaac, and now to him. So we can't help but ask ourselves, is there anything admirable in Jacob?
Not anything so far.
Not, how about Rebecca?
Same thing.
Isaac?
Isaac? Doing the best he can't see.
But he could hear. And I don't think he should have allowed Jacob to pass the test so easily.
Yeah.
Because he smelled like Esau and he felt like Esau, but he didn't sound like Esau.
So he's got, of all the five senses, sight, sound, smell, touch, taste. Yeah, so you taste the game, he thinks it's Esau. Smells the clothes, he thinks it's Esau. He can't see. Well, he can hear it. So, and that, this is interesting to me because the only sense that was actually reliable was the hearing. He said, it feels like Esau, but it sounds like Jacob. And he rejects that and accepts the smell, the taste, the feel. And
Jacob has lied to his dad
several times. He lies, and not only does he lie, he blasphemes God. So he says, yeah, I'm Esau. How did you get the food so fast? The Lord did it. I mean, this is so reprehensible. This is so immoral that you would use God's name to deceive someone. I mean, this is a sin. But Isaac hears the difference and rejects his hearing and accepts his other senses. And so I wonder if the writer doesn't want us to know that the hearing is primary. It's the one that hears the word of God and walks according to it. That's the one that receives the blessing. Yeah, Kim?
Favorites, which
yeah.
is wrong. But why would Rebecca set him up for that?
Especially
that's,
when she was
against her husband.
That's what I don't understand.
She's going against God. I mean, they have their favorites, but she's
God had already told her.
She's weaving these lies and deception
yeah.
intentionally.
So
it seems like.
Now, Alden, what you were saying was
that God had already told her it would be faithful. So why did she have to be so deceptive? She couldn't wait for God to
She was
work.
So adamant on her favorite.
But I'm asking the question. I mean, God gave the word that the elder serves the younger. Why is Isaac blessing the one that God specifically said should not have the blessing? I mean, I'm asking about Rebecca. If your husband is so contrary to the word of God, I mean, that's essentially what he's doing is Esau is my favorite because he brings me game. And that's more important to me than the oracle of God of who would be preeminent. I mean, that is serious. I mean, that's as bad as blaspheming God in the deception. I think this is someone that knows what God says and rejects it because of the game. I mean, this is like father... Like son. I mean, that. So we can look at Rebecca and say, this is terrible what you're doing. But what are her, what's the alternative? Is let her husband, this stubborn man, go against God and do the blessing? She can't. I think it's Stan Key that in his devotional said she doesn't have a lot of options. So he kind of admires her for doing this. But so again, nobody's guilt free in this whole story, right? Rebecca has this strategy, this plan, this deception. Jacob goes along with it. He doesn't even ask, is it right or wrong? He just said, how can I do this without getting caught? Isaac is, you know, going against God's word. Esau is out of the picture now, but we already saw where he is. So they're all bad. Now, we've been looking at the providence of God. So what is God doing in this situation?
God can use bad for evil. to allow that to take place, what he has ordained.
Yeah. It's the providence of God is messy because he has to use sinful people. And they're the only ones that are available to him, because every one of us, since Adam, is sinful. And so you have all these machinations and strategies and deceptions and lying and all of this stuff. And yet God is working out his plan. It's, you know, the book of Romans, you know, that God works everything together for good for those that are called according to his purpose and love him. That his, you go all the way to the New Testament when they pray how they're under persecution of the governing authorities and pray that God would protect them, but recognize that these ones crucified the Lord, but they only did what God's plan was for them to carry out. And so here's Isaac walking apart from God's plan, and Jacob and Rebecca working out this thing to transfer it, and eventually we'll see Esau come and cry and ask for, you know, and all of these sinful people with sinful desires and sinful actions, God is weaving into a tapestry for his will to be accomplished. And he uses what Richard said. He uses even people that have bad motives and bad character in order to fulfill his will. And we can be sure. So what we get out of this, with all this stuff, that I would do this differently, you would do this differently, is God's oracle that the younger would serve the older. I mean, the older would serve the younger is going to take place. It's going to happen. So we've got Isaac blind in more than just his physical eyes. We've got Rebecca, who looks to me like at least recognizes the oracle and can't stand the idea of it not coming to pass. And then you've got Jacob, who will go along with it. We already saw he'll use any situation to his advantage. And then Esau is off hunting like he does. So Jacob lies, he blasphemes, he says, "I am Esau." It's there's a book by Chad Bird. It calls this the first recorded instance in human history of identity theft. It started right here, and now we have to watch this every time we go online. It's here's the Esau taking the place. I mean, Jacob taking the place of Esau, and grabbing the blessing. Esau is suspicious, but he is deceived. And I'm asking, you know, can you trust your wife? You hope so, but you don't know. Can you trust your son? Not so much. Can you trust your senses? No. Can you trust the word of God? I mean, that would be so. All of this was not necessary if Isaac had not decided to go against the oracle. I read these commentaries and they try to explain how things like this happen. And so one of them says, "I don't think Rebecca told him the oracle, so he didn't know." And I'm thinking, I'm trying to imagine the scene where, you know, God speaks to her and gives this thing that you wouldn't tell your husband. So it's kind of hard to believe. So what stands out in the story to you?
They all seem to value food very
highly. Yeah. Yeah. Esau sells it for a bowl of stew. Isaac loves it because he brings the gain. Jacob and Rebekah use that for their own advantage. Anything else? And then we can look at the blessing.
I keep thinking, as you're sharing, how often, you know, God says he's given us every spiritual blessing. We have an inheritance that cannot fade away, reserved for us by God. And I think how often we look at it, what's in front of us, and we forget the big picture.
Yeah.
We value what we see here, and how often we kind of exchange it for a lie, because we don't believe that God's blessing and inheritance that he's given us is enough.
Yeah. It's so much easier to look at Isaac and Rebecca and Jacob and Esau about how bad they are. That's a lot easier than asking, okay, how am I like Isaac? How am I like Rebecca? How am I like Esau? How am I like Jacob? And part of the story is, you're no better than these people, but God still uses us. We can still trust him and trust him for, Esau couldn't see beyond the temporary, the material, the physical right now. And at least Jacob could see beyond that. And I think that's the call. We have promises that we don't see fulfilled yet, but they will be fulfilled, and we can put our confidence in those.
He thought that he might be cursed to do what his mother suggested. And she said, I will take your curse. But then he ends up receiving the blessing. And the last thing his dad said was, all who curse you will be cursed, and all who bless you will be blessed.
Yeah.
So he ended up with a great blessing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, she said, I'll take the curse, that is, if you get caught. But he didn't get caught. but that's the covenant promise that God gave to Abraham. I'll bless those that bless you, and those that mistreat you, I'll curse. And that's what he needs. That's what he wants. And for Rebecca, say what you will. It's deceptive. It's dishonest. If she trusted God more, she could just let it go, and it could work out without her doing her shenanigans. But at least she saw the value of what God said was supposed to happen. And I mean, it's a danger for us. We know what God wants, so then we try to interject ourselves into the situation to make it happen. But still better that than completely blind and unaware of what God is trying to do. So let's look at the blessing. And in 27, verse 27. So Jacob came near and kissed him. Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you." So what are the blessings that he proclaims for Jacob?
The earth's riches, abundance of grain and new wine.
Yeah,
all people will serve him, bow down to him.
Prosperity, fertility, crops are growing, all this stuff. Preeminence, dominion over other people. And then, as Alden mentioned, the very promise God gave to Abraham is given to him. That's why this blessing is important. Right? We have the covenant promise of God to Abraham and then to Isaac as the supernatural son that now passed on to Jacob. So in Genesis 12, "I'll make of you a great," this is to Abraham, "I'll make of you a great nation. I'll bless you and make your name great so that you'll be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I'll curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." And then in 12:7, "to your offspring I will give this land." Okay? The land of Canaan is part of the blessing from Abraham to Isaac and now to Jacob. The people of God, the seed from Abraham to Isaac, now to Jacob. And this is why it's more valuable to him than any stew or meal could be. It's so valuable, I'm willing to risk even blaspheming God to get this blessing. And it's not right. But do you ever desire something from God that much? That you would do something that, you know, in his heart of hearts, you sit down with him, you know, and over coffee sometime and ask him, "Jacob, come on, tell me, did you think that was right?" What would he say? "No, it wasn't right, but I wanted the blessing of God. I wanted the blessing of God. It doesn't excuse what I did." But the heart to desire the thing that is most precious is what he does. And Rebecca too. That this is the most precious thing. So what does Esau do when he finds out? He is not a happy camper. I mean, he is a camper, but he's not a happy camper. And verse 30. "As soon as Isaac finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. And he also prepared delicious food and brought it to his father. And he said to his father, 'Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me.' And his father Isaac said to him, 'Who are you?' And he answered, 'I'm your son, your firstborn, Esau.'" And then verse 33, "Isaac trembled very violently and said, 'Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? And I ate it all before you came and have blessed him. Yes, and he shall be blessed.' And as soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, 'Bless me, even me also, O my father.' But he said, 'Your brother came deceitfully, and he's taken away your blessing.' And Esau said, 'Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he's cheated me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he's taken away my blessing. And then he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered him and said to Esau, behold, I've made him Lord over you, and all his brothers I have given to him for servants, and with grain and wine I've sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son? And Esau said to his father, have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall be your dwelling, and away from the dew of heaven on high. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck. Now Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And then we'll pick up that next time. But so Esau's blessing, notice it said Isaac trembled when he heard that it was Esau. Why would he? What does that mean? What's important about that? Why does he tremble?
You had done the wrong thing.
He had done the wrong thing? Or
recognized the wrong son? I don't know.
or almost did the wrong thing. I mean, a lot of times this trembling takes place when someone sees God and realizes that God is active. God is bringing his power, his awesome, and his judgments. And I wonder, does Isaac wake up and say, oh, I almost blessed the wrong one. This was, I came that close to violating what God had said in his own word. But he reckoned, he says, he'll be blessed. He's not taking the blessing back. So I think he wises up. And so Esau then cries out. Isn't he rightly called Jacob? He's deceived me two times, and he's taken away my birthright and now my blessing. And it's not even really a blessing. It's you'll be away from prosperity, away from dew, away from crops. You'll live by the sword. And Edom is not a fertile property. There is no, you don't have the crops that you have in Canaan. And you'll serve your brother. And we won't look at it, but later on we see David conquers Edom, and they serve him until even at the time of the Babylonian captivity, Edom cries out for Jerusalem to be destroyed, and it is. But eventually, the judgment of God falls upon them. All right. So, what do you see in the section with now with Esau compared to Jacob?
Esau didn't have the interest of the family, the tribe, because he was always a man of the field, going off alone, shirking responsibilities, where Jacob stayed with his mother, so he was always in camp, seeing what was going on. Even though his motives were questionable, he may have had a better understanding of what needed to be done with pride.
Yeah.
He still might have been going back over to deal with his birthright. Could be. Because he may have didn't realize what he did. He didn't realize the gravity of what he did.
No, and then I didn't jot it down, but Hebrews said the same thing, that you know he did this, and then he could not receive, even though he cries out and weeps, warning us, you know, walk with God. You may not be able to come back.
Well, it was a decision he made. The blessing being taken from him was not his decision. That was completely fabricated through lies and deception. So it's, at this point, it's hard to see any good in it. You know, of course, this story not done in here. It goes on further. But down the road, Jacob gets a bit of what he did himself.
Oh, yeah. The cheater gets cheated later on. He reaps what he sows.
Oh, yeah.
In his temporal life. But the covenant promise of God continues on. And that supersedes everything that people do. God is working his plan that the seed of Abraham eventually comes, dies on a cross, in the hands of the most sinful. I mean, you think Jacob and Rebekah are deceptive. Think of the high priests that claim that this Jesus said he was going to destroy the temple. He wished we should put him to death. The seed of Abraham that dies for the sins of the world is coming because of this line that God is working out. Now I'm gonna stop and we'll have a little discussion group to try to look at this more carefully. So if you're watching on YouTube, I'm going to give the questions that I'm going to ask, and then you can pause and ask those questions for yourself and then tell us what the right answer is, that even though you don't know what wrong answers we're going to say. But a couple scheduling things. So next week, the 14th, we will not have Wednesday night Bible study, but we will have prayer for the following Wednesday is our revival week. So we want to pray for God to do what he wants to do in us and through the Uries as they come. And so we set apart this time to seek him. And so next week, instead of doing Jacob, we'll seek the Lord for his work. And then May 21st is the revival week, so we'll be in the revival service. So May 28th, which seems like forever, but it really doesn't take that long, then we'll look at chapter 28 where Jacob flees, because we just saw Esau is really angry and he says, as soon as my father dies, I'm going to kill him. And Jacob flees, and then we find out he gets cheated on his own. But we'll look at his flight and then his dreams. So the questions I'm going to ask, and I have these written down for you here. You don't have to jot these down, but question number one, if you had a chance, what question would you ask each of these people? Because I want to know, why did you do this, that, or the other thing? Number two, which character do you find most reprehensible? I mean, they're all bad, but which one is the worst? Do you find anything that's admirable in any of the characters? What do you learn about God and his ways? And how does this story fulfill the purpose of God? And maybe in my own, I jotted down another one that didn't make the list, and that was, how are you like each of these people, even though you don't want to be like these people? That how are you? Let's close in prayer, and then we'll go to our group. Thank you, Lord, for the riches of your grace. It's amazing, it's astounding to us that you can take sinful people, use them to fulfill your perfect will. And we want to be used by you in such a way that you receive all honor and praise and glory. And we want you to transform us, that you could actually use goodness that you have instilled in us. So we offer ourselves to you in Jesus' name and ask that you would take us and use us for your glory and for the furtherance of your kingdom. Amen. God bless you. See you next week for prayer, and the week after that for revival service, and then back to Jacob on the 28th.